This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Two great hours already in the can. If you miss DJ Swearinger or Clinton Portis, you'll want to grab the podcast today. GrantandDanny.com/audio, TheFanDC.com. We are live at Redskins Park in Ashburn in the lobby of the team's headquarters where the Redskins are back to work ahead of their bye week. They are 2-1, tied for first place with the Philadelphia Eagles. It is time to go blitzing. Couple of minutes on the Nationals upcoming, but first, let's get to the gridiron.
Redskins.
Victory lap time for Chris Russell, who is one of the few, the proud, the elite, who predicted Washington
called
to
it,
beat
baby.
Green Bay. Russell, did you think Aaron Rodgers was going to look like that much a shell of himself, though?
Yeah, I mean, I expected it kind of, you know, off the five quarters of football, off the weather conditions. Now, when we last talked, we didn't realize it was going to be that rainy. Certainly their offensive line losing Bulaga at some point in that game. I forget exactly when he went out, but that certainly had an impact in the second half, as it did for the Redskins when they lost Moses and had to go to Ty Anseki. All of that kind of led up. But if we look at it, I know you guys have touched on it, if Randall Cobb doesn't have the worst game that I've ever seen him have, if Aaron Rodgers pulls the string on one or two throws in which he was off early on in that game and one in the end zone, maybe it's a different result. But the bottom line is Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, the Green Bay Packers, and their very porous defense certainly were no match for the Redskins, and it's a good win.
Russell, why don't they have a second half touchdown in the game this year?
Well, I know what you guys think, that they're too conservative, and I would agree with you that they are certainly too conservative. I think what happens is they want to chew up the clock, and they want to control possession, and they want to keep their defense as fresh as possible. And we saw this kind of happen with the Bears on week one Sunday Night Football when they blew that second half lead to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. You want to keep that guy off the field as long as possible. And I know it wasn't great. I know it wasn't successful. I know about the Clay Matthews penalty. They did have the 117-yard run on first down from Peterson late in the fourth quarter after the Dunbar turnover. After the Moreau turnover. Mm-hmm. And certainly they have to get better. But I think it's trying to minimize not only it's trying to minimize how much time your defense is on the field, one, and trying to minimize what kind of damage can be inflicted through a heavy passing attack against a young secondary by the opposing quarterback. Against Sam Bradford, there was no concern. Against Aaron Rodgers yesterday, there was a big-time concern.
How about this defensive line? John Allen yesterday played at a Pro Bowl level. Deron Payne flashed his first sack. Matt Ioannidis is a man-child. That triumvirate is around for a while. They got a chance to be really good for a long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I loved Ioannidis coming out of Temple as a fifth-round pick. I thought he was a steal then. I thought he was a third-round prospect, and they got him in the fifth round, kind of Tim Settle division this year. And I'm really glad to see how he's emerged and just continued to get better after not making the 53 out of his first rookie training camp. Remember, they asked him to change positions, so there was a growth curve there. So I'm really happy to see what he's done, especially after getting banged up in that preseason opener. And as far as Allen goes, I mean, just a man-child. I completely agree. And look, I've always been higher on Deron Payne as a pass rusher when everyone kind of doubted him. I've always thought he's not quite the run stuffer that everybody parades him around to be. I think he's just a good all-around player. And you saw that rip move against a right guard that had literally no chance end up in the sack. This defensive line, again, if it stays healthy and as it continues to grow, is going to be a wrecking ball to deal with.
Russell, quickly, offensive line, give me your thoughts on how well they played night and day from last week, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, outside of Ty Anseki, who's stunk. Three penalties and allowed a sack. By the way, the Clay Matthews sack. Everybody was really good. Chase Roullier, your cousin, Bergstrom, very good, getting to the second level. You know, Trent was much better than he was last week. Sheriff back to Sheriff. They plowed holes again. You know, outside of Nsekhe, and that's a big concern moving forward, especially because they might not have Trent for Monday Night Football because of this knee procedure. Things are going to have to be monitored very closely there, and Nsekhe needs to step up his game.
Slasherini, way to call a win when nobody else was. Take your lap, wave your flag. You did it, you did it, you did it.
Trust me, I'm beating my chest. Thank you.
Well done. Let's talk a little baseball.
Nationals.
Craig Heist covers the Nats for us here on The Fan, your flagship home for Nationals baseball. We do shows from Nationals Park. Now we do shows from Redskins Park.
Just all part of it.
Heisty, how about that? Your boys are live in Ashburn today.
How about that? You know, after a big win, and let's face it. And I'm not the Russell's not the only one that called that. I called that as well.
Oh, did you really?
Yesterday, yes, indeed.
I did not know that about you. By the way, little known fact about Heisty, I'm pretty sure he's a Wisconsin football fan. Isn't that true?
I am a Wisconsin football fan.
Makes no sense, but I love that about you. How about six games left for the Nats? Why should we be watching? What are the storylines to monitor?
Well, I think number one, Trey Turner. I he got a big day yesterday. He broke the all-time record, franchise record for stolen bases, 123. Yes, he did get picked off in the one inning, but I think that's worth watching because he's got a chance now. He's two home runs shy of 20. He's a couple of RBIs short of 70. So I think that's something to watch. I think if he did that, that would be pretty good. Steven Strasburg, he's on a 3-0 run. He goes tonight, weather permitting, and he's looks like he's back to Steven Strasburg type form. Those are a couple of the things, and I just want to see how the club reacts the last six games, or seven games, I should say, as we come down the stretch. And what's been such a disappointing season on a number of different fronts, how they react, and what this last week is going to be like for them in terms of the response and the grit, and they've showed a lot of that over this last month.
Hey, Steve, what are the thoughts here about their outfield going forward? Is Victor Robles done enough or shown enough where you could say, yeah, everyday major leaguer, or is he better served maybe starting the year in AAA and working his way up as other guys have, if indeed Bryce Harper departs?
Well, if the Bryce Harper, see, a lot of that, I think, all depends on what Bryce does. If Bryce Harper departs, I think you're going to see Victor Robles up here. My big question with all of this is, what's this going to mean going forward for Michael A. Taylor, who's really the odd man out of all of this equation, because Adam Eaton obviously is going to see time in right field if Bryce isn't here, and then Bryce would play center if he is here under that current construction. But I like Robles. I know the team likes Robles. And the big question that we've been asking, both him and Soto is, can you two envision playing together next year in the outfield? I think that's something that a lot of Nats fans would really like to see. Now, whether or not they feel he needs a little more seasoning and starts in the minor leagues next year, Danny, I think all has to do with whether or not Bryce Harper returns or he doesn't.
Craig Heist covers the Nats for us, 106.7 The Fan. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, man. Bye.
Much appreciate the efforts of both Russell and Heisty on your Beltway Blitz. A lot still to get to from yesterday's Redskins win that we have not hit on yet, including the preparation for this team. Why such a fast start, and where was that 1 week ago? What impressed you most? What disappointed you about the game? We can get into that on the phones with you at 800-636-1067. The Redskins win. We're at the park in Ashburn. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Second down.
Smith is decked. Oh, my. And a penalty. It's on Matthews again, and he can't believe it.
Personal foul. Roughing the passer. Defense number 52. It's a 15-yard penalty. Automatic. First down.
That's the third roughing the passer on Matthews this year.
Second time in 2 weeks, Clay Matthews has been called for a roughing penalty that just wasn't close to roughing. Good break for the Redskins. In fact, it was their only first down of the first four drives that they had in the second half. They were three and out the other three drives, and that was their only first down of that other drive.
So they were basically three and out because that was a sack, that was a loss, and they got their 15 yards. The other three plays amounted to minus 2 yards on that drive.
Clay Matthews deserved a sack on that play. He deserved a big loss on a second down and a third and a mile, and the Redskins should have been punting. Had they have taken advantage of that break, it could have been a real game-changing, perhaps game-losing play for Green Bay. And last week when Matthews got assessed a roughing call on a Kirk Cousins interception that would have ended the game against the Minnesota Vikings, it did end up costing them a win, perhaps, as they ended up having to split one in a tie in a game that went the distance in overtime against Minnesota. Danny, I can't get over this rule. I can't get over this call. I hate it so much. As a football fan, I think it is debilitating and problematic for the game. I'm curious, and we will open up the phones for you guys right now at 800-636-1067. I saw one person tweet me yesterday and said, wait a second. If we all agree that he put all of his weight on the quarterback, then what's the problem here? The problem is that that's not a foul, that it shouldn't be an infraction, that there's nothing vicious or malicious or violent about that hit, that it should absolutely be perfectly legal and within the rules for Clay Matthews to dial up a hit of Alex Smith at his chest and to drive him into the ground cleanly, which is what he did. But does anyone disagree with that? Does anyone think this is smart for the NFL to assess these penalties to keep quarterbacks healthier, to try to keep guys from hurting their shoulders and collarbones, Tony Romo and Aaron Rodgers style over the years? You heard DJ Swearinger on the show.
Mentioned it specifically, yeah.
He said the reason they put this rule in place was because of the Rodgers injury last year, and it's backfiring on Green Bay. But nobody on the field yesterday in either uniform thought that was a good call.
So I understand, again, the spirit of the rule. I understand why we have it. And I understand what they're trying to do, the league. And by the way, we each phase of this, getting to this point, we complained, I think rightfully so, by the way, but it was first you can't have any contact with the head. Then you couldn't have any contact with the knee, the Tom Brady rule. You couldn't hit the guy high, couldn't hit the guy low, even though there's not that much opportunity. You're grabbing whatever you can as you're running by, and another guy your size or bigger is trying to prevent you from doing that. I understand each time that they want the quarterbacks to stay healthy because, A, the amount of money that changes hands, but, B, viewership, entertainment value. It all starts and stops with QBs. I understand that. I wish they took care of the rest of the league the same way and eliminated some of those roadblocks, diving at guys' knees or that other kind of stuff. But that's a digression. I understand why they haven't. The same way that if a municipality goes, hey, because we've had something very serious happen, we've had bad incidents with speed limits. We've had bad incidents where people have gone too fast. There have been accidents. Therefore, we're going to ban driving. I know why you're doing it. You want safety. But this isn't the practical way to go about it. I really believe that. I understand why it's here. I just know that in practical application, this has to change. We've already had one player injured in an attempt to avoid injuring and being penalized, a quarterback.
Lost for the season with a torn ACL.
Yeah, William Hayes, who doesn't believe in dinosaurs, by the way.
No, he does not. Clay Matthews, after the game, talked about this. Second time in 2 weeks. He's been in the locker room after a controversial play, and he's had to step up to the mic. There's several cuts here, and frankly, we'll go through all of them, Tom, so it doesn't matter when you play each one. But he talked about his hit on Alex Smith and the fact that he thinks he was just playing football.
Well, obviously, I don't agree with it. Again, you know, whereas last week I thought I did it, you know, did it hit the quarterback correctly. Head was to the side again, wrapped him up. And you see, as soon as I hit the ground, you see me try and pull my hands out. You know, obviously, when you're tackling a guy from the front, you're going to land on him. You know, I understand the spirit of the rule. I said that, you know, weeks prior. But when you have a hit like that, that's a football play. You know, I even went up to Alex Smith after the game, asked him, you know, what do you think? You know, what can I do differently? Because that's a football play. And of course, you know, like I said last week, the NFL's gonna come back, so I put my, you know, body on him. You know, but that's a football play. I hit him from the front, got my head across, wrapped up. I've never heard of anybody tackling somebody without any hands. When he gives himself up, as soon as you hit him, your body weight's gonna go on him. But you know, I think we're looking for the hits, you know, that took Aaron out last year. You know, that little extra. If I wanted to hurt him, I could have. I could have put, you know, some extra on him. But you know, that's football.
Clay Matthews knows that they are looking for that Rodgers injury hit. He just doesn't think he delivered one of them. You heard him say, I went up to Alex Smith, and I wanted to know what he thought. But the fact that it's the same guy two straight weeks with this controversial call as the most popular indicator that this isn't working is a tough break for the Packers. But know something. It was known as soon as he delivered the sack that the flag was coming, because the league last week came out and said that was the right call. When everyone crushed the league all Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, the league came out early last week and said, we're sending this video around so that officials see what it looks like when you have the illegal hit. They didn't say, oops, we botched it. They said, this is the coachable, teachable moment for a great job by our officials to assess that penalty. Matthews went on to talk about Smith, saying that he didn't see anything wrong with the hit.
What did Alex say when you guys talked?
He just said, you know, you're probably going to have to start going after the ball. I don't think he thought anything was wrong with the hit. You know, it wasn't like he was coming to my defense, but at the same time, you know, I think he's, you know, I think he kind of sees where this thing's going, and you just got to go after the ball now. That's difficult.
Very difficult. The NFL is going in the direction Clay Matthews doesn't like. He even used the word soft yesterday.
No, like I said last week, the NFL's going to come back, so I put my, you know, body on him. You know, but that's a football play. I hit him from the front, got my head across, wrapped up. I've never heard of anybody tackling somebody without any hands. When he gives himself up, as soon as you hit him, your body weight's going to go on him. But, you know, I think we're looking for the hits, you know, that took Aaron out last year. You know, that little extra. If I wanted to hurt him, I could have. I could have put, you know, some extra on him. But, you know, that's football. So, I don't know. You know, I really don't know. Unfortunately, this league's going in a direction that I think a lot of people don't like. You know, I think they're getting soft. And, you know, the only thing hard about this league is the fines that they levy down on guys like me who play the game hard.
Mike McCarthy talked about the Clay Matthews hit. By the way, I've never seen a coach as angry as he was on the sideline after that. He was ballistic. Looked like he was apoplectic, just no control whatsoever. I thought he was actually going to grab an official for a second. Here he was postgame.
Just like anything in the game of football, I mean, you focus on what you can control. We have way too many penalties, so and our fundamentals were poor. You know, in Clay's particular case, I thought Clay did exactly what he's supposed to do there. So, you know, how it's being officiated, that those are questions for other people. You know, he hit him with his shoulder. I mean, he's coming full speed off of a block. He braced himself. So I was fine with what Clay did.
One last piece of audio I want to play here, Danny, to set this up was what Alex Smith said, because I thought he was great on this yesterday as well. He was asked about the Clay Matthews hit. Now, you'd think this is the quarterback who got hit. This is the guy who benefited most.
Right.
He got the first down out of it. But he wasn't sitting there saying that the NFL did the right thing.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm glad I don't play defense. You know, it's very. You talk about a strike zone a lot of times with a quarterback, and these guys, you know, it's kind of knees to shoulders, right? They can't hit us in the head and can't hit us in the knees when we're in the pocket. It's tough. I felt like he's playing football. He's played a long time. He hit me right in the strike zone. You know, that's the new rule they put in, though, with the finishing off quarterbacks to the ground. Listen, I mean, there were calls. You could go with the what-if calls all day. I felt like certainly we owed a call on the interception with Jordan, some contact there. So, I don't know.
Danny, do you think they're going to change anything in-season here?
I don't. I think they're going to let it get to the off-season before they make a change.
Yeah. I think that's a huge mistake.
If I do, too. I think it's ridiculous. I did ABC 7 News last night, and the analogy that I used was, imagine a couple stars in basketball went to the rim, and because there's contact at the rim and, you know, LeBron separated his shoulder, or I don't know, pick your famous center got hurt. They basically say you could no longer score from inside the paint because that's where the collisions happen. That's what this is. That's what this is. They're taking away part of the game that's fundamental, that's intrinsic, that's even correct. What Clay Matthews did has been correct forever, and now it's not. This isn't the shift in baseball where a line drive up the middle is now an out. That's not just smart defending. You're getting kind of ahead of the numbers and scouting. This is a regular, routine, mundane, correct football play now being outlawed and banned for a noble goal. But again, in practice, it's changed games. Minnesota and Green Bay should have a win that they don't have. It turned into a tie because of it. That sack of Kirk Cousins with a hit that turned into an interception should have ended the game. It didn't. So now they have an and one on the end.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, want your guys' feedback on this right now on the phones at 800-636-1067. You can tweet us as well at Grant H. Paulson for me and at Funny Danny for DR. 800-636-1067 is the number. Question simple here. Do you think they'll change this rule in season? Do you think they should change this rule? What did you think of the call on Clay Matthews? You're listening to the Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from Ashburn's Redskins Park on 106.7 The Fan, where the Skins are 2-1 and tied for first place after a 14-point win. You're calling us at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. We're getting you on the air. Remember, if you missed DJ Swearinger, Clinton Portis, you'll want to grab the podcast tomorrow. On this show, we're playing Redskins Survivor. We already got your game balls and your gassers. Attaboy's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Right now we're talking Clay Matthews, though, and a hit that shouldn't have been a penalty, but was. Danny, you're not seeing a fix coming from the league. I know we both agree that they should fix something. I just don't know how they could right now. The only thing they could do is pull a Major League Baseball when they had to step in with some of the things happening around the second base bag. And basically say, we can't allow this to go any further. Here's our new ruling. That's what they should do today. I actually think it's going to come. It won't be this week. I think it's going to be a couple weeks from now. But I do think a change of some type comes in season.
I wish I had that that optimism. I think they're kind of stuck with this. I think this may go down as the year of this penalty, whatever you want to call it. The year of the body weight penalty.
Do you think this will continue after this year?
No, I think they're going to get together and figure out better rulings. The same way that the catch thing just got so unwieldy and so bad and so confusing and so bizarre that a guy would have the ball for several seconds and he's diving for the end zone and then it comes out of his hands once he crosses the goal line and they're like, yeah, it wasn't a catch, even though it's been a catch for a thousand of years and every backyard. It's always been a catch, etc. I think they'll get together and have some better wording on this thing in order to figure it out. But I don't think they can change it midseason. I don't think they can get everyone together and get the right sort of wording and legislation together. It's going to take time in the offseason, I feel like.
Let's go out to Arlington on line one and talk to Tim. How are you, buddy? Thanks for the ring.
Hi, how are you?
Good, man.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for taking the call. I was listening to what y'all were talking about. I watched the game yesterday, and I happened to see the Vikings game the previous week with Clay Matthews. The thing that really is interesting to me, once upon a time, the NFL wouldn't hesitate to say, yeah, we messed this up, we kind of screwed this up, or this was a mistake, this was an error. And, you know, I mean, the players are human, the refs are human. It just seems to me under this current regime in the NFL, they just seem to be incapable of admitting mistake. I mean, if everybody else is looking at this going, holy cats, you know, they got this wrong. And the NFL is saying, we're sending this out as a teaching moment.
Yeah.
Yikes. I mean, if I was a coach and I got this tape as a teaching moment, I'd be putting it in there saying, here's a textbook hit. This is how you want to do it.
Exactly. Well, that's the concern right now, is that this ruling is being made fun of around the NFL. By coaches, by players. I mean, I've talked to a couple players now, and I've now talked to a front office person here in the lobby and a member of the Redskins staff. To a man, they're all basically saying, yeah, I don't really know what you're going to do about that. It's a bad spot for the league to be. Let's go to Stan in Woodbridge, line two. What's up, Stan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it.
Couldn't agree with you more, Danny. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, this is basically the new catch rule. The lack of clarity with the NFL and the lack of enforcement across the board makes this harder than it should be. If they provided a video or some sort of demonstration at the beginning of the season and said, hey, look, this is our new ruling. This is exactly what we're looking for. All referees are going to call this exactly the same. unlike we have now, where, again, it's a patchwork of calls. Some hits are right, some hits are wrong, but they almost look identical. It just ties into that, again, that lack of clarity, lack of communication from the people making the decisions. And what do you do with that? So I agree with the frustration and the issues, as well as with the idea the concept's good. Yeah, safety is good, but
right. Everyone's pro safety. Thank you, Stan. Like, but think about it in terms of application. How is Clay Matthews, if they play Carolina, how's he supposed to get Cam Newton to the ground? How's he supposed to play defense? How do you get Ben Roethlisberger down? If you have to do this, excuse me, would you mind? If you have a second, could you please go down? I can't really touch you, engage upon your person. Maybe I'll try to like wrap my arm around your waist and sort of gently guide you to the ground, put a pillow underneath your head. How are you supposed to do it against some of these big body stud quarterbacks? You know, Alex Smith getting hit when his head's turned, looking the other direction. Clay Matthews, I guess, conceivably could have slowed up, you know, not even wrapped him up, but found a way to get him to the ground right there. But if somebody sees you coming, these guys are going to get out. They're going to escape.
That's the problem, I think, if I'm a defender, is you get chastised and vilified and made fun of and benched, perhaps, at worst. I mean, if you run into a quarterback and you wrap him up and you don't get him to the ground, the games are lost on those plays. Guys escape, and now off schedule, they're throwing the ball downfield for 30 or 40 yards because your DBs thought the play was over. Dave's in Ashburn. Dave, you should have driven over. We're at the park. What's up?
Hey, Kurt and Royce, nice to talk to you guys again.
Hey, Bob.
Robert.
Hey, I think, you know, if you look at the rule, they're trying to protect the quarterback, and you know, he did get horizontal. The feet came off the ground as he made contact. And, you know, back in the day, I guess you go back to high school, they're like, keep the feet pumping, keep the feet on the ground, drive through them, take them to the turf. As soon as he made contact, the back feet came off. He got horizontal. So, according to the rule, he put it, I guess you could say, a little more oomph into it. So, you know, I'm a Redskin fan. Obviously, I didn't like my guy getting hit that hard. But anytime you lift those back feet up and give him a little more oomph, I think, you know, they're going to call it if they're going to try and protect these guys. So that's all I got. Thanks, Kurt and Royce.
Thank you, brother. Here's the problem I have is you can't make a tackle of a quarterback without your feet coming up off the ground, especially when you're at full sprint, as Matthews was coming off the edge. In hockey, you can say, well, your skates can't leave the ice because you keep your momentum gliding on the ice with the blades on the cold stuff. That's how a hit works.
Right.
In football, to knock a quarterback over, Alex Smith's 6'4 and 220 pounds or whatever he is. You don't just run into him with your shoulder. You don't keep
like
your
you have
feet
extra
on the ground.
Time, Grant. It's not like he's gonna wait for you to get there to throw the ball to get rid of it. There's a race against the clock here. Scott tweeted us. You can tweet me at FunnyDannyGrant at Grant H. Paulson. This is another reason I forgot to mention why I don't think it's changing anytime soon. He said, could it be that the league is being extra careful in these calls due to fear of future liability for players' health down the line? I think that is the huge underlying part of this. They want to be able to do, when they have to go to court, and they will, right? When the Eric Dickersons of the world are saying, please pay us money for health, and all these other guys are so hurt, they're going to get sued. They're going to protect themselves by being able to say, but look for true. Look at all the rules we put in place to make sure everybody was totally safe, even though it's less safe. You already have, again, William Hayes with an ACL injury trying to avoid because of this stupid rule. That's the main reason behind all of this. That's why the crown of the helmet stuff is in there. That's why you know, they've gone to these lengths that they have to change the game in so many different ways. And again, a lot of it is to the good, is to try to protect players. But that's, to me, the biggest underlying reason is that's not, you know, operating costs. That's not, hey, we'll pay players salary and we'll take a loss on the season for tax deduction purposes. This is cash going out of owners' pockets down the line, and they hate that.
Grant and Danny from Redskins Park. We'll try to grab a few of the guys as they leave the building in the next hour or so. Our final hour and 15 minutes on the air with you today on GND Live here from Ashburn's Redskins Park facility on 106.7. The Fan. More of your calls on the Clay Matthews hit if you've got them at 800-636-1067. Next, also, got to give out some attaboys in the final hour of the show. You're listening to G&D on the Fan. Some weeks I'm particularly glad I didn't put any money on NFL games. Week 3 was one of those weeks.
Yeah, sorry about everybody's survivor pool, by the way. I think it's 60-something percent of the people out there in survivor pools had the Minnesota organization. Plus 16 and, or minus 16 and a half, or so, even bigger spreads at times, over the Buffalo Bills. And, of course, they flipped that narrative right in their head. Minnesota was atrocious in that game. Bills deserve credit. Your boy, Josh Allen, by the way, looked awesome in that game.
He's a good player. I just don't think he's ready. And I think because of that, there's going to be some really high peaks and some really low valleys. But, yeah, you're right. He played very well against a defense it is not easy to look good against. You can play well against the Vikings. You can play well against a lot of teams. Kind of rapid fire here. The Saints outlasted the Falcons. New Orleans had a field day offensively. Alvin Kamara, Drew Brees indoors in Atlanta. That game needed overtime. Can we fix the overtime rules? I know we've tried to do this a million times. Everyone should touch the ball at least once. Overtime should be longer than 10 minutes. It's not that hard. College rules, college rules, college rules.
Yeah, I even go even simpler, as you know. I think they should just play football. And the fact that they don't get to, that it's got to be some sort of gimmick, I think it's just ruins it. Because that was a masterpiece. That game was awesome. But you knew whoever won the toss, they were going to win the football game. And they did.
Dolphins, a team I was wrong about, 3-0, beat 3-0. The Raiders 28-0. Here's what I'm right about. The Raiders and John Gruden are in for a long season.
Yeah. Now, what's crazy about this is the Raiders have not trailed in the first three quarters of any of their three losses.
That is nice.
They have either led or been or tied through three quarters in each one of their three games, and they've lost all three.
But I'll say this, too. I've never thought they were playing that well. Like, they've played one good team and never were at risk of winning that game against the Rams, I didn't think.
They're not good. That's an important thing. They lack playmakers, especially on defense. If only they had one, access to one at one point.
Khalil Mack, by the way, another sack fumble on Sunday.
Yeah.
Panthers, 10-point winners over the Bengals in Charlotte, 31-21.
We called that one, didn't we?
Yeah, the Bengals were not authentic, I didn't think, at 2-0. They're better than we both thought they were. But
yeah, they're fine. They deserve credit for being 2-0 entering the week. But Carolina, they had to go up against some grown-ups there.
Everyone's talking about the Bills beating the Vikings, and you should be.
You should be.
What about the Titans topping the Jags? 9-6, a regression for Blake Bortles that you knew was coming after he looked like an actual professional quarterback against the Patriots.
So you start doing the little dance, right? It's you know, you can only do it in college football where one team beats one team and then that team plays another team and you sort of compare scores. In the NFL, it's harder to do that because of matchups and so many different things. But it makes Jacksonville's win over New England, two things happened, look a little bit less impressive. One, how poor New England looked last night in a game against Detroit where they couldn't move the football. But two, Jacksonville goes the next week and lays an egg against Tennessee, and now you're going, wait a minute, maybe it's not that impressive.
Chiefs won by 11 over the 49ers. Kansas City is 3-0, and they are the truth. Pat Mahomes, three more touchdown passes. Jimmy Garoppolo sounds like tore the ACL in his knee in that game. Oh, boy, is that a dagger of a loss for the 49ers. The Rams are Super Bowl contenders. They are 3-0, and they're not going away. 35 spot for Los Angeles in the battle for L.A. They beat the Chargers by 12. And then one other shocker late last night, Sunday Night Football, the Lions convincingly better than the Patriots. 26-10 final, never in doubt, start to finish, circuit to circuit. Detroit took New England to the woodshed.
So we always say this. If you're going to get New England, you get them in September. This is when they're in their feeling out phase. They're trying basically to see who can play, who can among their roster. There's always so much turnover. They kind of incorporate their young kids, et cetera, et cetera. So they never look as good as they're going to look in November, December. I'm still penciling them into the AFC title game. But did that operation look bad? I mean, how many times have people in New England written Tom Brady's epitaph and basically said that Belichick has lost it in September when they start off poorly? Remember a couple years ago there were calls for Brady to be replaced by Garoppolo, et cetera? Come on, man. They'll be fine, but that operation did not look very good last night at all.
No, they didn't. And one other guy who I'm curious about is Steve Wilks, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Mm. Of course, the Redskins waxed the Cardinals going back to week one. But he went to Josh Rosen yesterday late.
A tough ask, too, by the way.
Why would you do that to the kid quarterback? They're down. You are throwing it every down. Basically, the defense you're playing Chicago, which is great, led by Khalil Mack, who could be a defensive player of the year, is just pinning their ears back and trying to get home. Rosen comes off the bench, has never played an NFL game, trying to go hurry up offense, can't hear in his headset, asking a lot of questions of people around him.
That was tough, man.
And he ended up throwing a couple picks and looking really bad in the process.
Yeah, it wasn't really fair to the kid. I mean, hopefully he's you know, resilient and bounces back from that. But that was, again, that's a tough ask for anybody, let alone a guy that hasn't played yet.
We'll give out some attaboys from yesterday's dominant performance for the Redskins in a 14-point win. How about that defensive line? John Allen, a couple sacks. Matt Ioannidis gets home for the third time this season. Daron Payne's first of his career. He got a really young group of stud D linemen. We can put the spotlight on them next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.